Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey, is this the end of the line? Oh, thanks. Name's Chet. Hey, no joke, this is my second time up here. Well, it's a hell of a story. So this kid CEJ, he iced me, right? But then I get up here and they say there's no record of it. Not possible, they said. So I get sent back down and now I'm tethered to the little shit. But the more I'm around him, the more it starts to feel like the universe depends on him being a boring, normal kid. It's weird. And there's some thing out there looking for him, too. So then he gets some new friends, and they're full-on creeps. And I'm like, hey, kid, you gotta steer clear of these folks, okay? They got nothing but bad ideas for you. And what's he do? He picks them and banishes me back up here. But get this. It turns out, those friends, they're salamanders. Hey, it looks like your number's getting called there. No worries. Hey, put a good word in for me.
Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of small town smiters and crepuscular creeps. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the Crooked. And question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds, but I wish I had a nice ring.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play the character Adam Miller, the Monstrous. And let me tell you, puberty is really bugging me.
I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the Flake. And, you know, there's nothing flaky about Crashly except the way her cornflakes crashed to the floor yesterday when she dropped them. But otherwise, not a flake. Thanks.
My name is Claire Linick. I play Susan Wexler, and I am the expert and an expert at using eggs in my decorating.
Hi, I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the Spooky Mundane, and I'm definitely not re-upping my Old Navy membership rewards plan.
Before we jump in to this week's goings-on, I want to take a moment to check in with my players about what characters know and what they don't know. In terms of, a lot of crazy things has happened. And because we often do recaps where we are talking about what has happened in the previous week and things, I think sometimes it can be a little hard to remember, does my character know this or does only my player know this? And so I just want to clarify a few things. Specifically, Jeff, the player, does not know what happened last time to any other player because Jeff wasn't here for that recording session. No one knows what happened to Adam Miller last week because nobody was here for that recording session. Additionally, here are some other things that Adam Miller does not know based on my understanding of what has happened in canon. Adam Miller does not know what happened to his soul, as in he doesn't know where it went or what was done with it. All he knows is that he has a connection to Shamanda, but he doesn't know why.
Correct.
He doesn't know that Barb Wexler is in town. He does not know that CEJ met new friends and became friends with them.
That's true.
So those are things that Adam Miller, nobody has told Adam Miller. Adam Miller has, that's just not been part of his existence.
He's in the dark.
He's sure. In the dark. Crashly does not know about the soul bond between Adam Miller and Shamanda. Crashly doesn't know who Adam's dad is. Crashly doesn't know about CEJ's new friends. And Crashly doesn't know about Barb Wexler being in town. Susan Wexler doesn't know about the soul bond between Shamanda and Adam Miller. Susan Wexler also doesn't know who Adam's dad is, Satan. Susan Wexler doesn't know about CEJ's new friends. Susan Wexler also doesn't know that this is an alternate timeline.
What?
What?
I'm not sure Claire really understood it fully. Yeah. I'm ready.
It
CEJ doesn't know about the soul bond between Adam and Shamanda. CEJ does not know who Adam's real father is. CEJ doesn't know that Barb Wexler is in town. And CEJ also doesn't know that this is an alternate timeline.
Do I know it's an alternate timeline?
It has been referenced a little bit to you by your father, but you're right. I think the answer is no.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So add that to the other list of things Adam Miller doesn't know.
I don't know shit.
Crashly knows specifically because she bonded briefly with Layla when the lust demon was expunged from her body. And Shamanda knows Shamanda doesn't know. So this is what Shamanda doesn't know. Shamanda doesn't know that Barb Wexler is in town or that this is an alternate timeline that shouldn't exist. That's it. Otherwise, Shamanda kind of has all the deets.
Damn, Shamanda.
She's everybody's best friend.
She is. Real. She keeps tabs on everybody. I mean, she literally like stalked CEJ with his new buddies.
Oh, that's right.
And then drove home.
I just love you guys all so much.
Yes.
So here is the question that I have before we jump into it. Does any of that sound incorrect to you based on your memory of things?
Mm-mm.
I think that sounds right.
Is any of this something that would have happened off screen? Like information that would have gotten relayed at some point that we just haven't heard?
No.
I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay.
You don't have a phone anymore, right, Adam? And I know mine got jostled around in that car crash.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had a phone, but I'm going to get one soon because my mom is like...
You actually did get one. Your mom bought you a Razor.
Oh, that's right. She got me that morning. And I'm...
Yeah, that was last night.
But I don't have a car yet, but I have her car.
Yeah, you're just driving your mom's car. And yeah, the actual problem was that Shamanda lost her phone before. Mm. Shamanda doesn't have a cell phone.
Right.
Although Shamanda did get a burner phone from Adriana.
Yes, I have a burner.
Yeah. So remembering now, I mean, we don't know necessarily that it's an alternate timeline, but we have had those warnings of like...
The time is wrong.
The time's not right. Or
Yeah, the time is wrong. She must be served.
So we know that, but yeah, we don't know exactly what that means.
That's right. And you know a little bit more because your dad has talked to you. Your dad being Damon.
Satan.
Has talked to you about... Layla being somebody that he is opposed to and that is trying to change things. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So these are things that obviously might be important to your characters to relate to each other. Oh, the other thing that nobody except for Crashly knows is pretty minor in what has taken place so far. But that is Paul was accepted as a volunteer to the Great Internet Mersenne Prime Search. So, given all of that, obviously, it might come up and affect how you play things going forward. I know that Shamanda purposely didn't tell anybody about the soul bond that she has with Adam Miller. So, that is something. These are all things that you are not required to tell each other, but they are certainly things that have not yet been told to each other. So, you're all a little bit in the dark. All of that being said, we go to Adam Miller screeching to a stop in front of the Old Navy in his mother's car. Looming. He pulls up.
Oldsmobile. I think.
Yeah, it was like a 1992 Oldsmobile. And as you screech in front of the Old Navy, you see looming behind it the Haverford Generating Station, the power station that powers all of Mystery County. And Adam Miller, what do you do?
I get out of the car and I run inside.
Great. As soon as you push through the doors, you see an old woman and her, like a very old woman and a young boy, and she is sort of dragging him by the arm and pulling him out. She looks worried. And as you open the glass doors, you hear alarms just blaring out.
Oh my God.
Coming from the back. Like they're not blaring overhead. You just hear distant alarms coming from the back of the store.
I do a quick scan of the area. Do I see CEJ?
You don't see anybody. The store is empty.
Okay. But this lady's still there?
No. She walked out. She
gone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess I head towards the alarms, but cautiously because I'm scared.
Great. Roll. Read a bad situation.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. that is going to be sharpness. Okay, I'm not very sharp, so when you roll a 6, it becomes a 5.
Wow, yes. So you are going to misread the situation. So you can ask me one of those questions below. And so the what's my best way in? What's my best way out? Are there any dangers I haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable to me? Or what's the best way to protect the victims? You can ask me one of those questions. I'm going to tell you what you think the answer is.
Okay. I'm going to ask, are there any dangers I haven't noticed?
Yeah. So this is what happens, Adam. As you go forward, you make your way towards the back, and you see that the alarms are coming from a doorway that is next to the, I just completely blanked on the word, the dressing rooms. The alarms seem to be coming from a doorway that is near the dressing rooms. And as you move forward an inch through, you kind of nudge past a display, and you feel a sharp hit on your shoulder from behind.
Oh, I turn around and I try to just punch it.
Yeah, and your unholy strength, you just completely annihilate the display that has fallen and fallen onto you. And so will you just describe for us, what is the Old Navy display that you just completely destroy?
Okay, so it's, what is that? Remember back in the 90s, the display where they'd have like all the people, like all the celebrities? Who's that lady? I think she was the lady that played the Brady Bunch mom. Is that her who I'm thinking of?
Yes. I remember she was definitely one of the people in it. I'm trying to remember. Florence Henderson?
Yes, Florence Henderson. That's exactly who it is. So it's like a big, it's a big flat board of like Florence Henderson, and it's tipped over, and I just sort of turn and I punch it right in the nose. And I immediately like, oh no, I just punched the Brady Bunch mom. And,
And not only that, like the head rips clean off.
Yeah. And I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. I'm really weirdly strong.
Yeah. And it's a cardboard cutout. But yeah, you are so strong.
But I think my takeaway is like, I'm the strongest.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So.
So that is what you become convinced. There is a moment, I think, where Adam Miller, irrationally, and you feel really embarrassed about it later, you for a moment believe that the cardboard cutouts are moving and are attacking.
Oh gosh. So I every cardboard cutter I think is like now possessed.
Yeah. You think that somehow that's what is going on in the Old Navy, is that there's possessed cardboard cutouts.
This throws me into a panic and I run.
Great. Where do you run towards?
Back towards my car.
Okay. I will point out, just to see on this, so this is knowing that you came here because you were told by your secret master to save CEJ.
Yeah.
But in this moment, you get spooked and you run.
I think I go back outside and I have to collect my thoughts and just assess the situation.
Great. Yeah, you run out. Nothing happens. I mean, the Old Navy is pretty quiet. The parking lot's quiet. Nobody's doing anything.
Come on, Adam. You got this, Adam. You got this. You got this. Don't let Florence Henderson keep you from living your life. Okay. I go back inside.
Right. Great. You run inside. You see all of the cutouts. It seems like they're very stealthy because they haven't moved from where you left them.
I'll tell you. So I have a big knife. I haven't really used it because I've always relied on mental dominion. But right now, I think it's time to bring out the big knives. And every cardboard cutout, I just slash it with my big knife.
Great. Yeah. You don't need to roll for this. You completely, you are the cardboard slayer. You successfully take down every single cutout.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. You do a very cool move. And you can hear the alarms coming further from the, what you now realize is the employees only, the back area of the Old Navy.
I slash the sign that says employees only and I go in.
Great. As you run in, you see, wow, okay, so this is complicated. As you run into this long hallway of the employees only area of Old Navy, you see at the end of the hallway two salamander people.
Oh my God, these guys?
Yeah, and they are kind of screaming as they are fighting and trying to attack a demon. similar to the one that you saw earlier. But this one is a little less built, is a little spindlier, and so seems to be struggling to deal with the threat from these two salamanders as they're fighting at the end. And you are hearing from a room about halfway down the hallway screams, very familiar screams, the screams of CEJ coming from a room about halfway down the hallway.
Okay, I make my way towards that room.
Great. You run in towards that room and you see strapped to a table CEJ as there are two salamander creatures hovering over him in their sort of stubby fingered hands holding scalpels and leaning and other medical equipment, and they're leaning to poke him in the face, and he's sort of screaming and struggling as you see other in the corner of the room another kind of spindlier demon fighting even more salamanders that are all sort of like toppled over covering this demon, and he's just like, get the fuck off me. Oh, this is fucking bullshit. And he's just struggling to deal with all these salamanders. What do you do?
I scream, leave my cousin alone, and I stab at one of the salamanders hovering over CEJ.
You know, he doesn't see you. You don't need to roll kick some ass. You just do it. Yeah, you stab him. Like, literally stab him with your knife?
Yeah, big knife.
Yeah, with your big knife, you cut him in the back. Is this like a hunting knife, or is this like a butcher knife?
I think it's definitely a knife I stole from the house, so it's like a butcher knife.
Yeah. So you
it's like a kitchen knife.
You use your mom's good kitchen knife on this salamander.
Yeah, I told her a while ago that I think that CEJ lost it, but I took it.
That's the way you get everything forgiven, is you blame it on CEJ. Yeah. CEJ, you see Adam Miller there just looms up behind, because he's like nearly twice the size of one of these salamander people, and he just stabs it in the back as he says, get your hands off my cousin. What do you do? Adam, what do you do? The salamander drops the scalpel that it has in its hand, and it turns and it hisses and it says, it must be done. She must be served.
I cast Mental Dominion at him.
Absolutely. Roll plus charm.
Play that. Play that Adam Miller theme song.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled 2 ones.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
That experience, God. Though.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. God, I...
So when you just feel rebuffed hard, and you realize as you're looking around the room, you see there are runes carved into the concrete, very similar to the runes that you saw on... Like, not exactly, like, not the same runes necessarily, but the same kind of rough type structure as the runes that you saw on the bodies in the body pile by the lake a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fuck.
So, and you realize something is blocking your ability in this room.
Okay, and CJ is strapped down, like, tied up?
He is, not super intense, just, like, basic straps.
Okay. Can I mean, this makes sense because I rolled 2 ones, but I'm also guilty. So it's 2 minus 2. So I'm like a complete 0.
Yeah.
Can I cut through those ties? And I'm going to get CJ out of here.
Yeah. Roll act under pressure.
Come on. Come on. It is a, let's see, 10.
Great. Yeah. You slice through all of the bonds holding CEJ down. CEJ, you watch as your cousin just pushes the salamander away after you see him for a moment try to like burrow into his brain, but it doesn't work. And you see CEJ sort of be like, plan B, and then cut through the bonds and sort of is pushing the salamanders away. What do you do, CEJ?
Okay. Quick. They took my nunchucks.
I don't care.
Do you see them?
No.
Okay.
CEJ, we'll get new nunchucks. We gotta get out of here.
You don't understand. I got those from one of those fancy traveling gun shows, and I wasn't allowed to get a knife, which looks like you have one. So big surprise, you have the thing that I wasn't allowed to get.
Okay, I stole this from home. It's barely a knife. Okay, it's what my mom used. Okay, let's just we'll get new nunchucks. Okay, there's coming back in May. You know that.
Who's coming back in May?
The Traveling Gun Show.
Oh.
It's May.
Wait,
the Gun
real?
Be With You. Yeah, they call it May the Gun Be With You.
I thought they canceled it because of, you know, all the mystery stuff.
No, because honestly, they lobbied for it to come back. Okay,
I'm just like that Fisher Festival.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, remember when we almost got the Fisher Festival canceled?
Yeah, we did get it canceled, right?
Right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And as you get, you watch as these, you just hear, see the demon in the corner is groaning, is just sort of, this is fucking bullshit. Ugh, but is slowly lifting itself up, even under the weight of like five or six salamanders who are all going like, no, 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 oh no, oh no, no, we can't, no, no, she must. It's lifting it up, and then it just like takes two salamanders and just pulps their heads into each other and throws the bodies down. And he's just like, just get out of here. Come on, go. I got
him. Yeah, we're going. I think those are my dad's demons. I think they're on our side. See, EJ?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, let's get out. We need, trust me, you and me can't do this alone. We need to get out of here. I'm just okay, a little confused by what you meant about your dad's demons.
Oh, yeah. I'll explain it in the Oldsmobile. Let's go.
Okay, why don't, yeah. Wait, you get to drive the Oldsmobile?
Yeah, my mom loves me now. Well, I mean, she always loved me, but like she feels guilty now. And, you know, I'll tell you in the car, my dad's Satan. Let's go.
What?
With that, the other thing you experience, Adam Miller, is in this moment, you feel A, that connection that you have with Shamanda that before, for the last couple hours, you just, when you were in that other place, it was gone. You just couldn't feel it. You couldn't feel a connection to anything past. Once you came back, it was back. You knew where she was. And in this moment, you experience a flare of her being in danger.
Oh, gosh. Where is she?
She is at the Quivic house.
Okay. How far? Okay. Like, is there a printer in the Old Navy? I need to print off a map from MapQuest. I don't know how to get there exactly.
As you guys run down the hallway, you do see the other, like the manager's office.
Yeah.
And just slumped over in the corner is a, well, actually, you see slumped in the corner. So let me paint the picture of this. You run into the room. You see the desk of the manager. In front of the desk, sitting in a chair where like an employee would be sat for a reprimand or talking to or anything, is Brian Mosby. And he is slumped over, bleeding with a huge cut in his neck.
Oh, God. Is he dead?
As you look at it, you see the cut goes through his skin, and then it goes through some green skin underneath.
Yeah.
What?
I have a lot to explain.
What? Is he not Brian Mosby? Is he like a monster?
He was, yeah. He was a disgusting, slimy salamander man. Do you remember that guy that made me eat a piece of him?
Yeah, wait. You mean like those guys that I just stabbed in the other room?
You what? Oh, yeah, I saw that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
Sorry. For sure. I can't quite remember what's happened, like when exactly at this point.
That happened like a second ago.
Yep, sure did.
Okay, I pull Brian Mosby and I throw him on the ground. See, EJ, do you know how to use MapQuest?
I love MapQuest.
Okay, can you get us to the, what was it called again?
The Quivic House. It's
the Quivic House?
Manito Street.
I tell CEJ the address, and I'm like, can you find directions from here to there?
Yeah, I want to establish that this is, canonically, the devil has bonded your souls, so you know intimately, on a fundamental level, you know the exact physical location of Shamanda, whether that be a physical mailing address or, like, latitude, longitude coordinates, but yeah. You do not have any natural GPS to get to to get to those locations.
Yeah, like I don't know the quickest route, and there has been a lot of construction recently, and that could really screw us.
So yeah, you spout out just from like almost like an eidetic photographic memory the exact address of the Quivic House to CEJ, and CEJ starts putting it into MapQuest.
And I stand guard at the door.
Yeah, you don't. What you hear after a moment is there is kind of more fighting stuff, and then like no, that sound, silence, heavy breathing, and then you hear one of the demons kind of clomp over to the other and be like, "You good?" The other one's like, yeah, you ready to get out of here? Yeah, let's fucking go. Awesome, dude. Let's go. And you just hear, goof, 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 and they run out the hallway, and then you hear them burst into the Old Navy proper, and you just hear them start, like, wrecking shit.
What?
Oh, okay, wait, man. No, stop. It's okay. It's okay. Look, I know what's going on, and I know where we need to go next to stop this all from happening, but we've got to get the rest of the group. I don't think we can handle it just the two of us, even though you have a knife.
Yeah, I have a knife, but also I can still turn into a monster. So here, and I hand CEJ the knife.
I know that. I know that you could do that.
Yeah, I hand CEJ the knife. I'm like, here, you take this then.
Okay, great. Now I have the knife.
Yep, now CEJ has the nice kitchen knife because Adam Miller gave it to him.
And I twirl them around as if they're nunchucks.
Be careful with that. Oh.
Yeah, you know what? You don't even need to roll for it. You do a really good job.
Whoa.
Great. Yeah. Oh, sweet. And nice.
I think in this moment, I'm like very impressed with CEJ, like the most I've ever been impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And even more so
I'm going to put it. Oh, God. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I put a hand on Adam's shoulder and I look him in the eyes. And I'm like, coming here was really brave, but really stupid.
I know. I was told by someone I needed to keep you safe, though.
Oh. Well, you're doing a good job. Let's get the rest of the gang, because if what's happening at the power plant is really what's happening based on what all those lizard people just said, this town is going to be like not a town pretty soon.
Okay. I agree. We got to go.
I dive in through the passenger window of the Oldsmobile.
Oh, God, it was closed.
What? Oh, my shoulder.
CEJ, roll act under pressure.
Oh, titties. I got a... act under pressure. I got a 4.
Also...
He could burn a luck.
You know what? Here's
I'm burning a luck.
No, not a Oldsmobile job. Don't do it.
I'm burning a luck.
Absolutely.
That's the most CEJ thing ever.
I need it. You know what? Getting captured and poked, that's fine. Embarrassing myself through this window dive? No.
You're going to get us all killed.
Oh, great. CEJ just dives in, and Adam Miller, you are like, no, it's close, right? And you're like cringing to wait for it, but actually instead, CEJ just annihilates this window. Just, it shatters a rock going through, and he rolls in and like completes the dive and sits up, and he looks completely unaffected by it. He looks very...
What's the problem? I like flip some of the dust off my shoulder.
Glass everywhere.
And CEJ, since you burnt a luck, you find something weird, maybe even useful. What do you find in the Oldsmobile?
I find my nunchucks.
I knew it. Yeah.
You find your nunchucks. But what you actually find is under the seat when you are rolling up and stuff, you find a pair of nunchucks with ribbon on them tied. And it's a present from Aunt Diane that she's clearly been hiding.
Because at the same gun show we walked around, I saw the pair of nunchucks I actually wanted. I was like, oh, look at these. These are like official real nunchaku. Like, they're incredibly well done. But they were so expensive. And AD was like, no, we'll talk about that when your parents get back. Because that was like really early into their disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bought some like lesser, my like second choice basically as a gift for me, but she must have got these ones as well, knowing that, or ordered them later on. So for a moment, my heart is full of love for Aunt Diane.
Yep.
And my face is full of glass from the window.
Oh my God.
Christmas comes a little early for CEJ as he gets his new A-class nunchucks. And with that, we'll cut back over, though, to some other people for whom Christmas came early, Shamanda, Susan, and Crashly.
Nice transition, my man.
Thank you so
much. Hello.
Shamanda and Susan, you are in the kitchen. Crashly, you are in the living room of the Quivic house. Again, this house is covered top to bottom, entwined in Christmas lights, like some sort of thick jungle vinage situation. It is dense. It is moving. It is grotesque. It's almost, the other word one could use would be like tentacles just draped and squeezing around every spare surface of this house on the inside. Crashly is in the living room. She just saw a person kind of wrapped up in Christmas lights dangling from the chimney on the inside, just above a fireplace full of wood that has a sparking Christmas light on it that is a fire hazard. Crashly called out to Susan and Shamanda, who attempted, Shamanda attempted to use her telepathic ability to connect with the ghost inhabiting the house to try to allow them passageway through the door into the living room, but got rebuffed pretty hard. And then a demon formed in the kitchen and said, "Who's trying to fuck with my charge?" And you see as the demon appears in the kitchen between Susan and Shamanda. And Susan, you see this demon appear and then it's looking around wild-eyed and it spots you. And what do you do?
Oh, no. Well, okay. I have to be honest. I do recognize him.
What's his name?
So this is his name.
Yeah.
His name is Vamilla.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, hi, Vamilla. We don't have a lot of time here.
Hey, this isn't about us right now. All right, I got asses to kick. And he just goes and he starts ripping at the Christmas lights on the wall. Just
ooh,
yanking
wouldn't do
them
that.
Down.
Wouldn't recommend that.
And you
I'm
see,
gonna re. Oh, go
and
ahead.
I'm just before you do anything further, you just see the lights start flashing and pulsing the actual lights in a very kind of kinesthetic and just sort of, it is a little bit strobe, a little bit makes you car sick the way that the lights are all flashing around as they start tearing at him. You see like the electrical cord, like the prong of a Christmas light just whip out and rip down Vanilla's cool. back, gouging flesh out. And what do you do in this moment?
I'm going to read a bad situation. Because I have two hold on that. I still have two questions that I can ask.
That's right.
I'm going to ask, what's my best way in specifically to the room that Shamanda is in, which I believe is the living room, correct?
Crashly is in the living room. Yeah, Shamanda's with you right now.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, Crashly. What's the best way into the living room so Shamanda and I can meet up with Crashly?
Yeah, as you are watching, you realize there is, with the pulsing and stuff, the best way in. As the demon is drawing, as Vamilla is drawing the ghost's attention, you can see some of the Christmas lights around over the entrance go a little slack. And you realize do seem to be limits to how much sort of animating energy that the ghost can maintain. So as the focus goes to a more immediate threat, the lights are going slack. So you realize as long as you can get enough attention away from the entrance, you should be able to sort of slide around the wires and just sort of move them without causing any problems.
I'm going to encourage Vamilla and be like, I think you almost got him. Keep kick, use your feet.
Stop flirting with me, Susan. I'm working. As he gets beat up.
Yep. And I'm going to grab Shamanda, by the hand and try to guide her through the slack area there.
Great. Shamanda, do you allow this or what do you do?
Yeah, I allow this. It feels like a ropes course that we're in.
That's very apt. Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
So I duck under and I try to limbo. I'm making a game of it. I'm trying to limbo through.
You got to have fun. You know, in any situation, you got to look for the joy. Also, as you're doing that, you feel Adam Miller snap back into existence, your connection to him, and you feel him. Well, yeah, so the timing of this is a little off. You have felt that for the last minute or so, but you feel him coming towards you from a place that feels near the Old Navy.
I squeeze Wexler's wrist as we shimmy through, and I say, "He's coming. He'll be here any moment."
Vamilla? Oh, babe, I think he's... I don't want to say this. I think Vamilla's going to die.
Oh, I am so sorry that we have to mourn another one of your boyfriends. But I mean, Adam's coming. He's coming to this exact location.
Okay. And I look at her just kind of like quizzically trying to put the pieces together.
You don't feel that?
I certainly feel embarrassed at how much easier this seems to be for you to shimmy through, but that's... So you... Explain it to me one more time.
Okay. So, long story short, I was in a car crash the other day. My soul is bonded to Adam's. Ew, gross. I know that we just, like, officially said that we were together. Now we're soul bonded, and you're going to say I'm moving too fast for such a young, promising woman and have my whole life ahead of me.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, you're soul bonded. And this is big news, but maybe not... the most outrageous thing I've heard this week.
That's not blowing your mind. I have two souls in my one body.
No, that actually, Susan, you've never heard of that happening before. You didn't even know that was possible. The idea, okay. I agree with you though. Hearing a teenager say I'm soul bonded in this context was very like, of course. But when Shamanda goes on to say what that actually seems to mean, it does seem very weird to you.
Okay. But I don't want her to freak.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to be like, okay, let's put a pin in that. But that's definitely,
You don't have like a book or something I could read about it right now? Like if this was crashing, you'd give her all the information.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Also, yeah. So that is also, again, yeah. So Shamanda does not know that. As part of Barb Wexler being in town, that Susan Wexler has lost half of her magic book collection, that her lore library has been decimated. So yeah that is something it's also like, that isn't
I'm
isn't
sure those
shared.
Books are, what I can tell you is I'm sure those books are.
But you always have them cataloged, somewhere. Like Dewey Decimal System, like you know exactly where the books are. So you can just tell me the name of it and so I can just write it down for later.
It's
as we shimmy through these. Ow, these lights are so hot.
Yeah, they are.
I remember it has an orange cover and there's like a photo on it of like a small child who appears to be laughing. We'll find it.
And we'll cut over to Crashly. Crashly, you're in the living room. You're looking up the chimney and you see a woman there bound. And she's just saying, help me. Help me, as you can see there, the looming fire risk below.
Oh, boy. Can I tell that, like, Mrs. Wexler and Shamanda are on their way in? Like, can I hear them?
Yeah, you can easily hear them making their way in through the other room.
And where's the fire hazard is, like, under this person? Is that right?
So, yeah. So, there is a woman in the chimney dangling over wood that has a faulty light. That is shooting sparks into the wood.
So I want to take care of that first. So okay. I'm gonna grab my little mini like fire extinguisher,
okay,
foam thing, and try to just spray it on there.
And what was that? Will you describe further your little mini firefighting foam thing?
Yeah, it's like the size of the palm of your hand. So it has about as much as like of fire putter outer foam. As like a hand sanitizer, you know, like those little hand sanitizers you carry. It's not a lot, but it's enough. Or like a mini hairspray, like that size.
Sure.
And it's just a fire. It's like the spray kind. It's not the big firefighter kind.
Totally.
So, I'm going to just spray that on there and see. I think it's approved for electrical devices, but I'm not 100% sure. But it seems like might as well try.
Okay, great. Roll plus cool.
Okay, done. So I got, I got an 11.
Okay, great. So this is acting under pressure. So you do what you set out to. So yeah, you manage to douse the wood and the light bulb with fire retardant and the light actually shorts out and you see that whole string go dead. And
nice. The
woman that is bound doesn't quite notice that because she's in a very odd situation, but is there and for the moment seems safe other than the fact that she is hanging like a bound fly in a chimney inside a haunted house.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, ma'am, I know you're going through a difficult time right now, but I have a couple questions for you. What is your name?
My name's Teresa Serbinski.
Teresa, can I call you Teresa? My name's Crashly.
Uh-huh.
Can I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. So, great. So, who wrapped you up in these Christmas lights?
I don't know. I'm just supposed to be here to help clean out all of the Christmas decorations on the outside, and me and the crew got grabbed and pulled in. I was on the roof, and something snaked out and grabbed my leg, and...
Oh, so you're not a resident of this particular home. Okay, I see. Right, because the resident recently died. I did see that in the newspaper. This is tough. Are there other human beings in here? You said there was a crew?
Yeah, me and Fernando and Pushpa, we were all here with the HOA president, Doug. And,
okay, and I just need Francis to interrupt you right now. You don't have to be scared of me, so you can... You can calm down and
I
just,
really
like,
can't. I'm really wrapped up in Christmas lights right now, and yeah. I'm inside a chimney, and I have a bit of agoraphobia and also a fear of getting wrapped up by Christmas lights.
Okay. Well, agoraphobia, luckily, is a fear of large spaces and crowds, so you should be okay in there. So I just want you to close your eyes and remember you're in a small space. And then
she just starts crying. She just starts bawling. After being corrected by a child in this moment is a bridge too far. And she just starts hyperventilating.
Okay. Nope. You know what? You know what? I'm going to give you a few minutes.
No, no, no. Please don't. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me.
I'll stay right here. Look, I'm going to. So can I reach her at all to touch her?
Yeah, you'll need to. The problem is the entrance, like the hearth opening of the chimney, is also covered by these winding Christmas lights. So you could try to fit your hands under to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to hit, like, you know, put my hand through, just grab the toe of her boot.
Now, what I would maybe recommend for this, Crashly, is you do have an ability that you took called Often Overlooked, which is when you act all crazy to avoid something, you can roll plus weird to try to stay under the radar.
That's true. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to roll plus weird.
But before you do it, you need to act all crazy to avoid something. Okay. So essentially, you need to act all crazy to get the ghost to think that you are unthreatening and unimportant.
I've got it. Yeah, no, totally. No problem. So Crashly's just going to start going, "Operation, you're the doctor, connecting all the brains. Operation, you're the doctor, it's so much fun to play." And as she's doing that, she's going to be like sort of separating the strands of the lights, but she's going to be singing that song, and she's going to also be like pulling her own hair a little bit. So she's just acting like a really little kid who's also acting all crazy. And she picks out a scalpel, but it's like, it's from the Operation game. This is gonna go off the rails. It hasn't yet, but it's about to. So she's gonna grab a scalpel from the Operation game and start poking through, and then she's gonna go buzz buzz, uh-oh. Buzz buzz, uh-oh. Don't buzz me. Operation, yo, doctor, buzz up, don't buzz me, baby. And just do that for a while until she can try to like make a big enough hole in the light strands.
Yeah, okay. So roll plus weird. I think that is successful in your acting.
I'd call it successful.
you definitely, yeah, the ghost, there is a moment where all of the lights tighten up tight as you're doing it. And then you also can hear in the kitchen some loud thing just trading blows with some force in the kitchen. There's a lot happening in the kitchen.
Okay.
And that seems to draw its attention, but also it just seems to be like, I don't really you are having a thing go on, and the ghost is just sort of like, I mean, that's fine, whatever.
You're a doctor. It's so much fun to play.
And it definitely treats you as both unthreatening and unimportant.
Cool.
Until things change, that is going to be the way. So you are going to be able to get through, as long as you kind of keep up this charade, you will be able to stay under the radar of the ghost.
Okay, I'm going to keep singing. But
great. I love that this is like a kid detective's version of being Columbo. Of just a sort of like, oh, I'm just asking random weird questions. I'm just being weird.
Yeah.
So you are able to get under the and around the Christmas lights.
Nice. So I'm going to say, hi, Teresa. Don't be scared. I was just doing that to like, you know, get through. But I'm going to grab your toe. See, you'll feel a little pressure on your toe and the boot of your toe. That's me. So I'm here with thought you.
Are you sure it's not a Christmas light? Because I really don't want to be grabbed by a Christmas light.
No, I get it. And trust me, you're as grabbed as you can be. So you're not going to get any more grabbed except by me on your little toe. Human to human. So guess what? I have some great news. My friend Shamanda's on her way and she's like the coolest person ever. And then so is
somebody say cool.
Mrs. Wexler.
Yeah, and as you say that, you hear behind you, Shamanda, she and Susan have finally made their way through and they're in the same room as you.
Oh my gosh,
I think we saw her doing the operation thing and just like kind of let it ride out for a second, afraid it was part like she'd been taken by the demon.
Mm-hmm.
She's That's always fair. Getting possessed.
I'm not possessed right now, though. That was fake.
We're so happy.
Thank you. There's someone trapped in the chimney and she's pretty scared.
Okay. This house is, and I'm going to say it, and I feel like maybe you kids already put this together, obsessed with Christmas. And I think it's, I would just say, don't mess with the Christmas lights as much as you can. And just keep the spirit of Christmas in your heart.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Jingle bells. Jingle, don't kill us. We'd like to be freed from here in a timely mattered way.
Hey.
It doesn't seem to hurt.
Good.
But for the moment, you also realize, like, as long as you're not doing anything against these Christmas lights, they don't seem to do anything to you. That does make it difficult transversing past areas where the Christmas lights are up, but if you're standing in a room, essentially, the ghost doesn't care. It's okay. Only if you interact with it.
So let's just get this cutie out of these lights. Let's press on out the house.
There's other people here, too, though. There's a whole crew that got sucked in.
Okay, I'll go upstairs and find the other person.
Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me alone. I have agoraphobia. I don't like to be left alone.
Agoraphobia?
Uh-oh.
He keeps saying that she has
fear of spiders.
I think it's fear of open spaces, and she's in a small space.
Wait, are there spiders? I have agoraphobia. I can't handle spiders.
Gosh. Oh, you know what I will do? I'll connect with her with our mind so she's not alone spiritually as we search the house.
That's great. Yeah, so you're going to reach out telepathically?
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to tell her she's never been more than 2 feet from a spider in her life. So there's nothing to worry about.
Oh my god.
They lay eggs in your mouth when you sleep.
Okay, so why don't we do this then?
What
we're
going to
do is, Shamanda, I want you to roll plus charm. You are going to try to manipulate someone using your telepathy. You are going to get anti-help from Crashly. So you are going to re-roll your highest dice. So go ahead and roll for me, actually, first, and then I'll tell you what happens.
Roll plus cool.
Roll plus charm.
Roll plus charm. So it's going to be a 6 total.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, then, actually, we don't need to do anything further. You failed to succeed at this.
Oh.
Which is... So your
that
approach
tone let me believe that it was going to be something good.
It was possible that you were going to succeed, but at this point, I think... Crashly only makes it even worse when she tries to give the helpful advice of, like, sorry. You've never been not near a spider in your whole life.
It's a frame of mind.
Teresa starts hyperventilating and screaming, and you just hear screams going up and down the chimney out. And actually, with that, we will cut over to Adam Miller and CEJ. You pull up. There is a large gathering of bystanders and looky-loos kind of gathered around the Quivic house, which is covered in Christmas lights of all different hues and shapes, and has its viney tendrils reaching out to the houses on either side of it. And as you come out, you can see that those tendrils are spreading, and people are like, I don't understand. Is it like some animatronic thing? I don't know. It's
out of the way. Move.
Excuse us.
Move it.
Hey,
get out of the way.
Youth police. We're youth police. Out of our way.
And one of the people that you push is a kid that goes to school with CEJ and Crashly. His name is Derek. And Alan, will you tell us a little bit of what Derek's up to?
Yeah. Derek is he's kind of standing watching like the spreading viney tendril situation. And he's kind of like, ooh, this is interesting and new. And then when he gets pushed, he kind of looks up and there's like a moment of like kind of excitement on his face. And he's like, I've never really been pushed out of the way before.
Wait, is that what he says?
Yeah, he goes, wow, I've never really been pushed out of the way before.
Weird. Who is this kid?
Oh, I know him. That's Derek. He's weird. He goes to my school. Move, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. We got stuff to do.
Yeah, Derek. You dumb. You dummy. Yeah. High five, Adam.
I high five.
And Derek's like, I am dumb.
And as you guys push in, we're going to cut over to Tom Nuts net shop.
Oh, no. Tom Nuts.
And Tom Nuts, you're in the back. Tom Nuts is in the back of his shop just fixing one of his old nets.
All right. Just make sure this is connected to this.
And actually, I think probably creating another one of his hopefully someday award-winning Marie Antoinette net wigs. Oh. Doing the finishing touches on it.
You really did it this time, Tom.
And he gets a phone call.
One second.
Phone rings. He sees on the caller ID that it is the Chamber of Commerce.
Tom Nuts of Tom's Nets. How can I help you?
And he hears the familiar voice of Marcus Vermes, president of the Mystery County Chamber of Commerce. And Marcus Vermes says, Tom, it appears that we have another situation at the Quivic House. We need you there immediately.
All right, I'll be there.
And then a click.
I guess I'll have to finish my wig later.
And that's where we'll end the session for today. Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, give us a rating on iTunes or join our Patreon. If you do it today, March 30th, you could actually join us tonight for a game night that we are doing only with Patreon subscribers. Check that out. And until next time, watch out for the goonch.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Okay.
And she made a noise I've never heard before.
Can you replicate it for us?
She went...
I love it.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.